Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric Johansson, a teacher with LSAT Demon. With me is Nathan Fox, one of the co-founders of LSATdemon.com and the weekly podcast Thinking LSAT. Nathan, we got an email today from Savannah.
Good morning, LSAT Demon. I wanted to get your opinion on the webinar done by another prep company. I have included a link to the recording in case you want to watch it. I can see how it can be helpful to some people who mainly focus on individual question types. I wanted to get your opinion on it and see if it's worth the time to take their advice by taking certain sections or individual questions or certain practice tests. Thank you. Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, so I did not watch the entirety of this webinar. I skimmed it, but I have heard of this company doing these sessions in the past.
I think
it's something they are known for, where basically they look at the statistics of previous tests, of question type breakdowns and RC category breakdowns for the historical data of the LSAT and project into future tests which question types are you most likely to see, what game types are you most likely to see, and from that generate a list of specific prep tests that they say you should study in order to be best prepared for what we think is going to be on the next LSAT or two. And fundamentally, I just think that's silly.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's silly for a lot of reasons. We've talked about these predictions on previous episodes of Thinking LSAT and on previous episodes of the LSAT Demon Daily. I don't find any value in these kinds of predictions. I think that they're pretty much clickbait, you know, trying to convince people that they are able to prognosticate what's coming. But I mean, I can tell you what's coming, which is the same type of shit that's always been there. You know, like you could take it one piece at a time. In logical reasoning, what point is there in predicting like, well, we think that there's going to be five necessary assumption questions instead of four? Like, you know, there's going to be a bunch of them. You don't know how many. What difference does it make? There's going to be a mix of all different question types coming on the logical reasoning. That's always the case. So why would it? I don't see any value in studying particular question types.
Well, Nathan, you don't think it would be valuable. And I'm pulling this from one of their slides. They say that the LR question types you're most likely to see on the upcoming LSATs are flaw, strengthen, assumption, and must be true. Okay. That's not useful information to you?
No, because they're naming like half of the questions for one thing. Like those are all very common question types. They're also saying assumption, which is two very different question types. Necessary assumption and sufficient assumption question types are completely different assumption types of questions. One of them is asking you to prove the argument. The other one is asking you to find something that must be true based on the argument. They're totally different types of analyses, and I don't find that to be useful at all. In reading comp, I feel like reading comp is especially laughable because you know it's going to be a mix of topics, and I don't even notice topic when I'm on, whether this one is humanities or what even
natural science,
natural sciences,
law.
Yeah, there's going to be like a mix of those things. We know there's going to be a mix of those things. We also know that they're never testing your knowledge of those topics. They're testing whether you can read and understand what's on the passage. And there's no way that the passage itself is going to be repeated. So, it's not like you're going to have the same passage with the same questions. So you're going to have whatever it is, you're going to have to read it and understand it. So I don't see what like, well, we know there's going to be a law passage, so you should definitely, what are you going to do? Go review all of the old law passages? You're not going to learn anything from that.
Go to law school to learn about the law, then come back. Then you'll be better prepared for these.
On games, this company does heavily emphasize game types in their prep materials. And that's one thing that we do fundamentally different at LSAT Demon is that we just don't even really study game types. We think that all games are the same, which is they give you all the information you need to answer every question with perfect accuracy. And almost all games can be solved with worlds. And all you do is you just bake the rules in. You roll with the punches. You figure out the system that they're putting in front of you. And, you know, no matter, like, I don't care. Oh, we know there's going to be a web sequencing game. Yeah, okay. That's probably the most common type of game. And if you've done any kind of proper LSAT prep, you already got good at web sequencing games. Mm-hmm. So I just don't see how studying that in particular is going to be very useful. The other thing, last thing I want to say about game types is that students who heavily focus on game types always come to us with the same complaint, which is, I really struggle with hybrid games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, yeah, that's because most games are hybrid games. If you focus so much on like, oh, I want to have a preordained, like I want to memorize a template for this. I want to have a solution in mind before I ever even sit down to take the test. Well, you just can't do that because every game throws in just like a little bit of a wrinkle. And these small wrinkles make it so that you can't put a you can't just roll in there with like a solution to the problem. You have to deal with the rules that you're given and just you bake those rules in. It's easier than people make it out to be. I actually think it makes studying games harder if you think, well, all I have to do is just master all the different game types. I guarantee what's going to happen. You're going to be left with a giant pile of games that you think are hybrid games and you can't figure those ones out.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen if you do it our way.
Yeah. Speaking of games, I had to pull this line from one of their slides because I just thought it was so funny. They say current logic game sections tend to be fairly average in terms of overall difficulty, which I don't know if you could properly call that a tautology, which is just like a redundant statement. But yeah, of course, a representative sample of anything will tend to be average. That's the definition of, like, of course they're average difficulty because they all pretty much are.
We
on
did
average.
A study, and the average weight of the average human being is the average of all human beings. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't.
Yeah, it just okay. Doesn't. Well, it's filling space. The last thing, I wanted to include this one other slide that they had from their presentation about logical reasoning, because I have probably more feelings than I should about how this is written. But regarding logical reasoning, they say that the current emphasis is on more abstract reasoning and nuanced language, not on concrete reasoning forms and mechanistic solutions. They tell you to make mastering method of reasoning and principle questions a priority.
Oh,
focus less on formal logic and on classic justify and must be true with conditionality. For example, there was not formal logic on either of PT-94's LR sections.
What?
You look shell-shocked, Nate.
Well, I don't understand. I guess I just don't understand what they're even, like, what's the takeaway from that?
Precisely.
Okay.
I think, yeah. I think it's important for listeners to note that we are confused by what they even mean when they say not concrete reasoning forms and mechanistic solutions. Like,
I don't,
what?
I have no idea what that even means. Yeah. I mean, if you want the LSAT to seem hard, then go study that way. If you want the LSAT to seem easy, come study it our way, because it is easier than all that makes it out to be. Vastly easier than that.
Yeah.
Than all that makes it out to be. You know, you need to read what's there. You need to understand what they're saying. Like, what's the evidence saying? Are they reaching a conclusion? Can you tell me why that conclusion is bullshit? That's basically the game on every LR question.
Yeah.
So I don't see how any of that is particularly useful. I want to say one final thing before we wrap it up here for this episode. But this idea that you can assign particular sections or particular PTs, students love that. Sometimes, like, we see tutoring students especially who are like, I want you to assign me specific homework, and I'm like, no, because I want you to do a section of LR, a section of RC, and a section of games, and I want you to then bring those to me in our tutoring session, and we're going to talk about the stuff that you had problems with, and that's it. And if that's not enough, then I want you to do another section of whatever your most difficult section, whatever the hardest one is for you, do another section of that. And then when you find stuff that you have struggled with, bring that to your tutor. And that's the stuff that you should be that you should be working with your tutor, because all tests are essentially the same. I mean, all logic games are essentially the same. All logical reasoning is essentially the same. All reading comp is essentially the same. What is it that you're not reading correctly? What is it that you're not really understanding? How is it that you're not seeing how this answer fits this question given these facts? And then we can talk through the parts that you're missing. It's like if someone did insist on me assigning them specific homework sections, I very likely would like get out some dice and like roll it and just be like, okay, this number section, you know, like, okay, so test 47, section 2.
The other day I had a tutoring student ask for that. And I thought of a baseball player, and the first baseball player who came to mind, I just picked their jersey number. And I said, okay, do test 55. Cause I just thought about Tim Lincecum.
Yeah. I think that is perfectly a valid way to pick it. It just doesn't matter, you know? Yeah. And I think that's the value of the LSAT daemon, is that you just hit drill.
Yeah.
It just let the daemon pick for you. If that's what you really want, then just hit drill, because the daemon's going to just give you any question that you haven't done yet or that you need to do. And it's like this micromanaging of, I want to study the exact perfect test. Yeah. The exact perfect test is whichever one is at the top of your stack. Like, let's just get to work. Let's start doing it.
Okay. 100%. Email daily at LSATdaemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.